Chapter 32. Invasion of Sennacherib. But after he had proved his fidelity by such deeds, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came. He invaded Judah, besieged the fortified cities, and proposed to take them by storm. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was coming with the intention of attacking Jerusalem, he decided in council with his princes and warriors to stop the waters of the springs outside the city. When they had pledged him their support, a large crowd was gathered, which stopped all the springs and also the running stream in the valley nearby. For they said, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find an abundance of water?" He then looked to his defenses. He rebuilt the wall where it was broken down, raised towers upon it, and built another wall outside. He strengthened the Milo of the city of David, and had a great number of spears and shields prepared. Then he appointed army commanders over the people. He gathered them together in his presence in the open space at the gate of the city, and encouraged them with these words: "Be brave and steadfast. Do not be afraid or dismayed because of the king of Assyria and all the throng that is coming with him, for there is more with us than with him. For he has only an arm of flesh, but we have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of King Hezekiah of Judah. Threat of Sennacherib. After this, while Sennacherib, king of Assyria, himself remained at Lachish with all his forces, he sent his officials to Jerusalem with this message for King Hezekiah of Judah and all the Judahites who were in Jerusalem. "King Sennacherib of Assyria has this to say: On what are you relying while you remain under siege in Jerusalem? Has not Hezekiah deceived you, delivering you over to a death of famine and thirst, by his claim that the Lord our God will save us from the grasp of the king of Assyria? Has not this same Hezekiah removed his high places and altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall prostrate yourselves before one altar only, and on it alone you shall offer incense'? Do you not know what my fathers and I have done to all the peoples of other lands? Were the gods of the nations in those lands able to save their lands from my hand? Who among all the gods of those nations which my fathers put under the ban was able to save his people from my hand? Will your God then be able to save you from my hand? Let not Hezekiah mislead you further and deceive you in any such way. Do not believe him. Since no other god of any other nation or kingdom has been able to save his people from my hand or the hands of my fathers, how much the less shall your God save you from my hand?" His official said still more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah, for he had written letters to deride the Lord, the God of Israel, speaking of him in these terms: "As the gods of the nations in other lands have not saved their people from my hand, neither shall Hezekiah's God save his people from my hand." In a loud voice they shouted in the Judean language to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall, to frighten and terrify them, so that they might capture their city. They spoke of the God of Israel as though he were one of the gods of the other peoples of the earth, a work of human hands. But because of this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, prayed and called out to heaven. Defeat of Sennacherib. Then the Lord sent an angel, who destroyed every valiant warrior, leader, and commander in the camp of the Assyrian king, so that he had to return shamefaced to his own country. And when he entered the temple of his god, some of his own offspring struck him down there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, as from every other power. He gave them rest on every side. Many brought gifts for the Lord to Jerusalem, and costly objects for King Hezekiah of Judah, who thereafter was exalted in the eyes of all the nations. Hezekiah's other deeds. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. He prayed to the Lord, who answered him by giving him a sign. Hezekiah, however, did not then discharge his debt of gratitude, for he had become proud. Therefore anger descended upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. But then Hezekiah humbled himself for his pride, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And therefore The Lord did not vent his anger on them during the time of Hezekiah. Hezekiah possessed very great wealth and glory. He had treasuries made for his silver, gold, precious stones, spices, jewels, and other precious things of all kinds. Also storehouses for the harvest of grain, for wine and oil, and barns for the various kinds of cattle and for the flocks. He built cities for himself, and he acquired sheep and oxen in great numbers, for God gave him very great riches. This same Hezekiah stopped the upper outflow of water from Gihon, and led it underground westward to the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his undertakings. Nevertheless, in respect to the ambassadors, princes sent to him from Babylon, to investigate the sign that had occurred in the land, God forsook him to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. The rest of Hezekiah's acts, including his pious works, can be found written in the vision of the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Hezekiah rested with his ancestors. He was buried at the approach to the tombs of the descendants of David. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem paid him honor at his death. His son Manasseh succeeded him as king.